Hard to believe that we've spent a month learning Maseches Erevin, but we are indeed a month into it, and we are still talking about Eruvei Tchumim, in terms of what kind of food does the food have to be able to be eaten by the guy who made the Eruv, or can it just be edible by other people? Right, okay, we're in the middle of these discussions. And we're at the two dots here on Chav Tes Amud Beis, about five lines up. So I'm going to do that Mishmuel. Now, I actually have to correct something that I think I said yesterday that was not exactly precise, and the Gemara is going to correct it for us right now. If I'm not mistaken, I had said yesterday that in Eruv, yesterday's Daf Chav Tes talked a lot about amounts, in terms of if you're using certain foods, how much of that food do you need? And I believe I had said that an Eruv needs to be the amount of food which you would eat it with two meals. Now, that is not necessarily true, as the Gemara is going to say right now. I don't remember if I said it exactly like that, but let's just read the Gemara and you'll see what is the actual din. It actually depends on what the item is. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Kol Shehu Liftan. Anything that is Liftan. Liftan means something that is eaten with bread. It's either a spread or, let's say a piece of, some deli or something that's usually eaten with bread. Doesn't that mean deli is not a specific example? It's just an example of something that's not, hummus or ketchup or mustard or whatever. So anything that is eaten with bread normally, kedei lecholbo, then you need the amount of that food that you would eat with bread during two meals. So, use the deli example. If you normally have a sandwich with three pieces of deli, so you need six pieces of deli for the Erev, right? You don't need the bread, you just, if you're using deli for your Erev, so you need six pieces. Kol she'eino liftan, something that is not eaten with bread, then kidei lechol himenu, then the shear is that you need to have enough to make two seudas out of it. Okay, so if it's not normally eaten with bread, right, if you look at Rashi, kidei lechol himenu she'ei kol shtei hasudos mimenu, that the entirety of both sudas would be just this item. So I'm not sure what is a good example of that, but if you need to be able to eat the entire suda of this item. Obviously, that's a bigger shear. Okay, basar chai, what about raw meat? So the Gemara says kidei lechol himenu. Right, enough to eat, because you don't eat raw meat with bread. Right? You rarely eat raw meat legamre. Right? Rashi says ain't a liftan. Right, it's not considered something you eat with bread. So therefore, you need two full meals of this raw meat. And nowadays, people do eat raw meat sometimes. I think a carpaccio is a raw meat. But okay, either way, you need to eat. You need to get two full meals worth of this raw meat. Basar tzli, what about roasted meat? So that's machlokas between Rabba and Rav Yosef. And spoiler alert, the Gemara will say that Rav Yosef's position is difficult. Rabba amar kedei lechalbo, enough to eat with the bread, meaning that raw meat, that cooked meat is eaten with bread. Rav Yosef, hamburgers and such. Rav Yosef amar kedei lechol himenu, no, you need enough raw meat, you need enough cooked meat to eat two sudas of just the meat. I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, I'll prove it to you. Allah, how do I know? Dani parsai akhli tevaki below nama. Because Persians will eat raw meat. Tevaki is chatichos, pieces of meat. Raw meat, the Gemara says clearly, get it into my head. Yeah, raw meat, Gemara says clearly is kedei lechol himenu. That raw meat, nobody eats raw meat with bread. Here we're talking about cooked meat. Rav Yosef says, It's something that is eaten without bread. Roasted meat, eaten without bread. So therefore, you need to make the suda about the meat. You need to have enough to make two full meals with the meat. So Rav Yosef tries to prove it to you. He says, how do I know? Because the Persians eat this tevhaki, which is pieces of roasted meat, without bread. So Abaye said, what are you talking about? Persians have the monopoly here, but that's most of the world are Persians. That's not what they're doing in Mishnah. Big day aniyim laaniyim, big day ashirim laashirim. We know that, we've mentioned in Maseches Shabbos, that the shear of what is considered clothing, right, again, to be mekabel tumah, something needs to be mekabel tumah, begodim need to be usable. pieces of cloth. Clothing needs to be usable. Well, how do you define usable? Right, a poor person would use a smaller piece of cloth to patch his clothing. A rich person would not use it. So how do you define it? So it goes based on each person. Right, poor people take poor people size. Rich people take the rich people size. And that's they do not, what's it called? They do not mix. Right, okay, and I will be dashir and then ear and low, right? And you see that clothing of rich people in the hands of poor people, right? It's not, meaning it does not have to be 3x3 tvach, because the poor person will use it. Meaning, basically, that we determine the shear based on different people, right? So, v'chitema, right? Meaning, so why would you tell me just because the Persians eat their meat without bread, right? That doesn't necessarily. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't tell us about any general halacha. And if you'll tell me hakal chumra v'hakal chumra, right? If you tell me that you go with the chumra in both cases, meaning we require the smaller shear. Well, we say that the smaller shear of cloth is going to be mekabel tumah. That's chumra. And over here, we'll say that you need the larger shear in order to make the eruv. So we'll say that. Cooked meat is not eaten with bread, and therefore you need two full sudas of it. But Tanya will learn the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Ma'arvin L'chol L'Zaken Kedem Zono. We make an eruv for someone who's sick or for someone who's older, with enough food that he's going to eat. Rav Asan Besuda Benones. But for someone who's a Rav Asan is like Saginar, right? Someone who's not always starving, but always pounding food. Someone who eats a ton. You make him an eruv with a normal middle-sized, normal middle-sized amount of food, right? But we see, you see that you can make for an elderly person and a sick person, so you can make this the smaller eruv kedei mizono, right? We don't necessarily, we don't always go l'kula by eruv, and you can't tell me here we're going l'kula. So the Gemara says kasha. Oh, well, I guess right. Okay, but notice the shel kolodim. Okay, either way, the Gemara says kasha. You're right. In Echanami, that's difficult, and Rav Yosef does not necessarily have a proof over here. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's wrong, but that this is not a proof, and this is not a way to back up his shita. Okay, when we Amar Rav Shimon ben Elazar, did Rav Shimon ben Elazar really say this? Dafka that someone who eats a ton of food can use a normal amount of a suda. What in the world is this? So we may have mentioned once or twice in this Tafiyomi cycle, I don't remember, I think we did in Misach Shabbos, that there's a din about the tumah of a house. That if you have a mace in a house, and let's say there are four exits to the room, or the house, let's say, that the mace is in. So until they decide on which exit the mace is going out, all of the entrance ways are tummy. Once they decide, okay, we're taking them out of the eastern wing, or the eastern exit, so then the eastern doorway is tummy, but the rest of them are tahar. So Shimon Elazar says that if you have someone who is enormous, like Og Melech HaBashan, right, not literal, because Goyim do not have halachic tumah, either if you have someone who's enormous, right, pischo kimlo, right? The opening needs to be as big as he is. Right, the minimum shear, just to point out what that means, the minimum shear for a pesach for an opening is 4x4 tefachim. So if you get, but says Rav Shimon Elazar, that if you have a huge guy, you need to have an opening that can hold him, because it has to make sense that they decide to use this exit. Right, you can't fit Og Melech HaBashan through a 4x4 pesach on the wall. So it depends on how big the guy is. So if Rav Shimon Elazar says it depends on how big the guy is when you're determining which exit the mace is going out of, so how could he tell me that over here, that if the guy's going to eat a ton of food, you only have to make an area for him that is for the normal average person? So that seems to be a stira. Abaya, he says no, it's not a good. Abaya will answer that it's not a good. It's not a good comparison. Hasam Echi Levit. Because over there, by the case of, let's say, Og Melech HaBashan, what are you going to do? Hadomi Nedame Fenafke, what are you going to chop the body to pieces? Nowhere, there's no, Og is not fitting through any opening in the wall. Right? So if you can't, if it's a huge body, so if there's no opening, that works. So we go by the average person. So too. But the case of the person who eats a ton of food, so we go by the average. We go by the average. Meaning over there, if you can't get the body out, so obviously practically you're not taking the body out of that exit. So, but by the case of the food, right? So, Mustafa, you can just say that the average person needs an area of, I don't know, a couple of pounds of food. So, even if someone's going to just totally, totally go to town, so you can go by the average. You can determine the share by the average person, because it's not that the guy who eats a lot can't eat this food, right? Oog can't go out a small exit, but the food, that's different, and that because the guy can eat that food, just he may not be used to it. Okay, so either way, so it's not a good comparison according to Abaye, that those cases are not comparable. Ibaile will ask a question, although one second. It's not a stira, but the question is like this: Pligi Rabbanu Elu de Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar or lo? Do the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar or not? Again, the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said you're allowed to make a small erev for a chola and you give someone who's starving. I guess this is about Og Melech Habashim. I take it back. So Tashma, I'll bring you a proof. Og Melech Habashim Pisco Barba. That the exit that you decide to take Og Melech Habashim out can even be 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. So Mestama, that's the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rishon ben Elazar, even in our case, right? By in terms of how much food you need to use for an eruv for someone who eats a lot. So Gemara says Hasam no Hasam Dika Pesachim Ketanim Tuva. There, the case is you have a ton of really small exits. But you have one of them that's dalet by dalet. So when you're going to open up an exit for Og Melech Habashan, for sure the 4x4 is the opening that you're going to go through. Because it's much easier to open up that than the much smaller exit. So that's that over there. That's why the Chachamim will say that the exit is dalet by dalet, because simply that's the biggest one. Mistama, that's where Og's gone. Okay. Amar Rav Chiya bar Rav Ashi Amar Rav Ma'arvin v'basar chai. You're allowed to use an erev, a raw meat for an erev. Amar Rav Shimi bar Chiya Ma'arvin v'beitzim chayos. You can even use raw eggs. V'kama, and how many? So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, he says one. And Sinai is, if you look at Rashi, is a nickname for Rav Yosef, who apparently knew the Torah as if it was given to him at Sinai. That's a pretty cool nickname. Anyway, so he says two. He needs. He says you need two eggs. Okay. You know what? The parentheses over here, just looking at the Masoreis Hashas, could be that that Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak said in the name of Rav Yosef that you need to have two. Okay, he doesn't actually say one. All right, either way, fine. Back to the Mishnah. We said Hanodim in Amazon Mutar B'mayim. Now we're going to do a little bit of Hilchos Nedarim over here. That if someone who said he's not going to ingest mazon, he's allowed to have water and salt. Okay, the Gemara says Mayim Melech Umayim Hudilo Ikri Mazon. Apparently, what do you see that water and salt are not called mazon? Hakol Mili Ikri Mazon, but everything else is called mazon. Maybe that's against Rav and Shmuel, and a proof against Rav and Shmuel. The Rav and Shmuel, then Ritavayu, because Rav and Shmuel, both of them said, Ein Mevarchim Barim, or I guess this is there's some brachos here, but then we'll get to the Nedarim stuff in a second. But Rav and Shmuel said, you don't make Ein Mevarchim Barim in Mizonos, Ela Al Chameshes Hamin Bilvad, right? You only make Mizonos on the 5 grains. So maybe that's a stira, because if you're telling me everything is mazon, maybe we should make barim in a mizonos on everything. So Gemara says, one second, blow a simne chad zimna. Well, we already knocked this out. Right? Because if the Gemara and Brachos, if you remember, right, we say mizonos on rice. Right? Gemara and Brachos says that's not all, it's not true. It's not the only thing we say mizonos on. So Gemara says, okay, so fine. So lema tahavi tiyufta, not me my house. Let's, why don't we say this is also a tiyufta from here as well? So Amar Huna, no. But Omar Kol Hazan Alai, Maim Umelach. Okay, we are here by the Nedarim. I take it back. I take back the taking back of the... never mind. Amar Rav Huna says, no, the case here is that Kol Hazan Alai, anything that is going to satisfy me, he didn't mean that Mazon is Aser, anything that will satisfy me, is going to be aser. Maimon melech hu dulozayne hakol milizayne. But everything else will make a person satisfied, not sustain, but satisfy him. And zayne, that will, all other foods will certainly at some point make you not hungry anymore. So that's not, it's not trying to define what is mazon, it's just talking about whatever that the din is. That's the case over there where he's saying he's not going to eat anything that is going to satisfy and satiate him. Okay. V'amar Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, ki ava azon lebasrei de Rabbi Yochanan, when I was walking around by Rabbi Yochanan, lamecho peri de ginosar, to go eat the fruits of the ginosar. The fruits in Ginosar, right, as we mentioned, that may be the Pisco Shel Gan Eden, right? Because the fruits there are amazing. So Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Yochanan went to eat the fruits of the Ginosar. We had this already in this cycle before, towards the end of Brachos. Kiavin Be'Mea Havanaktina L'Kol Chavuchad Asara. Right, when they brought 100 people to go with Rabbi Yochanan to get these fruits, so each person would bring 10. Asara, asara. Ki avinu be'asara ha'v'maktinu l'chol chavuchad me'ah. When we brought 10 people, so each of them brought 100. Right? Meaning they brought down 1,000 fruits. V'chol me'ah minayu ha'v'maksik l'utzan abas t'losa savi. Right, and all 100 of us would take... what's it called? They wouldn't. No, not 100 of us. 100 fruits would not fit into a basket that was 3 saw, meaning the fruits themselves were very, very big. Rabbi Yochanan would eat all of them, meaning this was an excursion for Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says in several places, was a larger man. And then Rabbi Yochanan would just say, "Shu also delutayim li ziona." He would say that he's not full at all. Right? He's not. I swear to you that I'm not full. So even though Gemara here is trying to prove that there are other foods that you eat a ton of, but they won't satiate, they won't satisfy a person. As Gemara says, ima mazona. So, no, just say that Rabbi Yochanan didn't mean that he wasn't full. His stomach was full after eating 1,000 fruits. But he meant, I'm not eating anything that will be mazon, that will sustain, that will hazanas olam kulo, that will sustain my... Many of the fruits are nice, but they're not necessarily as healthy as other foods. Okay. And that's true. That a person eats a lot of fruit, so it kind of goes right through him. Right? It's not necessarily something that will sustain and keep a person going for a long period of time. If a person says, he swears that he's not going to eat this piece of bread, right? So then, the shvu is on the chefta, it's on the item. So ma'arvin lo ba. You're allowed to use an eruv, make an eruv for that person. Again, presumably the logic is that since someone else can eat it, so that's fine. Just like we saw in the Mishnah, the yayin for another, truma for a Yisrael. So if a person says, this kikar, I'm not going to eat, well, someone else can eat it, and therefore you can use it as an eruv. But if kikar zu alai, if he says, this loaf of bread is usur to me, implying that Rashi says, if you look at Rashi straight across, mashma kol davar hana asa ka asar lei, that he's asering any type of hana, any type of benefit from this loaf, so then ein marvelo, then you cannot make an eruv from it, because that would be considered some sort of benefit from the loaf. Again, this is the din of nedarim and nedavos, that there's always a difference, or very often, most likely, there's a difference between the formulation of the oath. If you make the shvua on the cheftza, so that's going to be drastically different than the halach ramifications if you make the shvua about yourself. If you say, I'm not going to eat this, or I'm not going to benefit from this, that's very, very different than if the focus is on the this, if the focus is on the bread itself. Okay, so that's the invite there. Mesive, hold on 1 second, I'll ask you a question. I know there may not kikar. If someone makes a neder from bread, marvin lobo, right, you're allowed to use it as an eruv. My lav damar alai is not the case that he said that you're not going to loot, that kikar zu alai, that this bread is usher to me. So Gemara says, lo, damar zu, no, he said that the bread was the focus of the iser. He said, shlo ochel kikar zu, I'm not going to eat this bread. So Gemara says, "Achin amem mistabra," and it makes sense. Make it the kind of seifa, because the seifa says, "Eim asai." When is this true? Bevismar shamar shvua shelo et amena. When a person says, I'm going to make a shvua that I'm not going to taste it at all. Aval amar alai, but if you said it's on me, my, what's the din? So now chinami, the amar ben loba, right, that you're not allowed to make an eruv with it. Okay, so that lines up like we just said. Again, if you make the shvua about the bread, so then you're allowed to use it because you didn't get benefit. But if you say, I'm not going to get any benefit from this bread, me, and the shvua, the focus is on yourself, so then that's going to be usher to get the benefit from the bread as an eruv. So Gemara says, Ayi hachi aditani kikarzu hektesh, eim harvin lobo. One second, if that's true, and if you, when you say this loaf of bread is hektesh, and you're not allowed to use it for an eruv, because you're not allowed to use an eruv, not allowed to make an eruv from hekdesh. So liflug v'lisni b'didah. Why don't we mention, right, the stipulation that b'med d'varim, when is this true? To amar zu, if he said, if he made the shua about the bread, if he said this bread is hekdesh, amar alai in marvin loba. But if you say on me, you're not allowed to make an eruv. I said the Braisa doesn't make any distinction between the two different types of shvuas, so both of them, meaning both of them, should why Ravuna is making this big distinction? So the Braisa over here, when talking about hekdesh, doesn't distinguish at all. So I'm melacha Ravuna elamai kol echad amar alai ma'arvin. What Ravuna will say? What are you talking about? So therefore, any place where you say it's usher to get benefit, it's usher for me to get benefit. You are allowed to make an eruv. So kasha resha. So then the first part is a problem, right? Because the first part, again, the first part said, when if he swears he's not going to taste it, so then implying that if he, that would be okay, but if he, the person said that hare alai, if the bread is usher to me, so then it would be usher. So Gemara says, you're right. Chisuri mechsera. Actually, it's the brisa is missing words. This is what it means to say. Hanoder min akikar. If a person makes a neder from the bread, so then ma'arvin loba. Then you are allowed to make an eruv with it. Right, it's against what we said before. Afilu amar alai. And even if he says the bread is usher to me, so it's as if he said, I'm swearing not to taste it. Me kol makom. I'm swearing not to taste it. So Gemara says, me kol makom kasha, the Ravuna. Okay, fine, but that interpretation is still a kasha against Ravuna because there's no difference between whether he said a lie or not, or whether the focus is on the bread or on the person. So the Gemara says, you're right. Hahu da'amak Rabbi Eliezer. Ravuna holds like Rabbi Eliezer, the Tanya, like Ravuna, the Raisa, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Shvu, Shalom, Ochel, Kikarzu. If a person says, I'm never going to eat this loaf of bread, Marvin Loba. Right? You're allowed to make an eruv with it. Kikarzu alai, if this bread is usher to me, in Marvin Loba, then it is usher to me, use it as an eruv. Wait 1 second, did Rabbi Eliezer really say this? Fatanya with a different price. If a person asers himself to food, meaning, so then you're allowed to use it as an eruv. Ochel haneser lo ba'adam, but food that it's asr to a person, emel arvin lo ba, then you're not allowed to use it as an eruv. And Rabbi Eliezer omer, kikar zu alayim arvin lo ba. If you say that this kikar is usher to me, so then it is mutter to make an eruv. Kikar zu hekdesh, and if you say this bread is hekdesh, imar v'loba, then you're not allowed to make it. If you may say it's going to be hekdesh, you're not allowed to use it as an eruv. Levisha imar v'loba hekdeshos, because you're not allowed to use an eruv with hekdeshos. Remember, before we said, Kondra Vilazar, that kikar zu alai is not allowed to be used for an eruv, and here you're telling me that kikar zu alai is allowed. So Gemara says simply, okay, trey tanai v'ali b'drabi Elazar. There are two versions of Rabbi Eliezer's Shita, and that's why you have two conflicting prices. Okay. Ma'arvin l'nozer b'yayin. You're allowed to make an eruv for a nozer with wine, and for Yisrael, a truma for Yisrael. We had the Mishnah, the Gemara says like this, Masnisin d'loka beis shamay. Our Mishnah is not beis shamay's Shita. The Tanya, like we learned, the Raisa, beis shamay omrim, in ma'arvin l'nozer b'yayin, for Yisrael v'truma. Pretty straightforward. That's straight against our Mishnah, that you're not allowed to use wine for a nozer and for truma for Yisrael. Beis hillel omrim ma'arvin l'nozer b'yayin, v'Yisrael v'truma. Beis hillel says it's mutter. That's like our Mishnah. Amar leh beis hillel beis shamay. So beis hillel said, yeah, Tamodim, why don't you admit Shema Arvin Lagadol Beyom Kippurim? Basil says, there's a concept of an Eruv Tchumim for a Gadol on Yom Kippur, but he's not allowed to eat. So what's apparently you see that the guy's ability to eat the Eruv is not relevant. So Beit Shammai said back to them, Aval, you're right, in Echonami. Right, Rashi says, what's Aval? In Emes, it's true. So Beit Shammai said back to them, Kishem Sh'ar Marvin Lagadol Be'om Kippurim, Kema Arvim L'Nazir Be'yayin L'Shor V'Truma. So what's the difference, says Beit Shammai, between a Gadol Yom Kippur and a wine for a Nazir and a Truma for a Jew? Beis Hamai, so what would Beis Hamai say? Hosam ika suda haruya mibodyo. Because there, apparently Beis Hamai would hold that the Eruv is good just before the Isser Achila kicks in, and he could have technically eaten the Eruv, right? He had an ability to eat the Eruv before the day started. Hacha leka suda haruya mibodyo, but by wine and truma, so then there was no point at which the Nazir or the Yisrael could have eaten the Eruv. Come on, who's that like? I mean, who's been holding out? Who's that like? Deloke Chananya, that's against Chananya. The Tanya, like within the Brisa, Chananya and Omer, Kol Atzman shall base Shammai lo hayimodim be'iruv ad sheyotze mitaso v'chol kli tashmisho l'sha. What is this concept? Meaning that Chananya says that according to Beis Shammai, food is not enough to be an Eruv. Right, according to Chananya, Beis Shammai Shita is you need to take basically your whole house to the spot where you want to set up your Eruv, and then that's good. Right, until you take your bed and all Klei Tashmisho, all the things you need to use, right, that's what's going to set up your Eruv, and if not, it's not a valid Eruv. Kaman, okay, so that's what Chananya Shita, that's obviously against what we just quoted, because Beis Shammai is still arguing about the food, but Beis Shammai makes no mention of clothing and bed and whatever it is. Kaman Azla Hadatanya, who is the shita of this brisa, eruv b'shchorin. If a person made an eruv, now it doesn't mean with like black items. Rashi says simply hayalav b'shchorin. He was wearing black clothing. Right, v'halach v'yashav v'sofa alpayim amos. He went to sit at the end of 2,000 amos. Right, asher kana sham shvizin. Right, he made an eruv 2,000 amos away. He was wearing black clothing. Lo yotze b'levanim. He should not go out in white clothing. B'levanim lo yotze b'shchorin. And same so to the opposite. Kiman, whose shita is that? Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Chananya, he believed with the Beis Shammai. Right, that's Chananya, according to Beis Shammai, who says that you need to bring all of the items that you're going to be using to the Eruv. Well, different clothing, right, you didn't bring it. So, it's not a black-white thing, it's just different clothes thing. Well, you weren't wearing, you don't have the clothes that you wanted to wear, and therefore that's not, you can't wear them. The Gemara says, Ulu Chananya, the B'shchorim, hu yidalo yetze, halo b'levanim yetze. One second, but let's clarify here. When Chananya says that it's no good, right, that doesn't mean it's no good that you can't wear one set of clothing, but the other set of clothing you can wear. Meaning the Eruv is invalid, right? It's not good bechlal. Right? You need to have taken everything you want, right? And now you have when you're missing the black clothing, right? Then you're missing stuff. Meaning the Brisa doesn't mention anything about your bed and everything you need, etc., etc. Right, you're not allowed to use the white clothing if he made the Eruv in white clothing, right? That's what he says. So he says, this is what we really meant to say. So if a person made the Eruv in white clothing, and then for whatever reason he needed black clothing that he didn't have with him, he can't even go out of the tum, meaning with white clothing, because his Eruv is no good. Right? You need to bring everything that you have. That's exactly what we're saying, that the Eruv needs to consist of everything that you need, and according to Chananya, according to Beis Shammai, and if you don't have it, the Eruv is no good, and you cannot travel. Forget that you can only wear the clothing that you were wearing at the time when you made the Eruv. Right? It's no good. It's no good legame. So come on, who's that like? So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, and Chananya, he b'aliba the Beis Shammai. Okay. Sumchus Omer Bechulin. If you remember in the Mishnah that Sumchus had said, right, we've quoted that you're allowed to make an Eruv with wine for a Nazir and Truma for a Yisrael. And Sumchus had said that a Yisrael needs to have Chulin, and he needs to have non-Truma food, regular food. So the Gemara says, well, that's one Machlokas, what about the other? So if you the Nazir Bayayin Lo Polig, apparently he doesn't argue that you're allowed to use wine for a Nazir. So my Taima, what's the difference? What's the difference between wine for a Nazir and Truma for Yisrael? So he says, the Efshar, the Mitshel, on Nazirah, say. Right? A person is allowed to ask about his Nazirah. What does that mean? So a person is simply din of the Darim. A person takes a Nadir or decides to be a Nazir. He can go to Tama Chacham and say, listen, it's not working out. It's not what I had in mind. I didn't realize it'd be so tough, etc., etc. You can be made for a Nadir. You can kind of take back the Nadir that you made. So just since the Nazir can go back on it, so he's therefore allowed, he could theoretically create a situation where he could drink the wine. So if you're telling me the Simchas requires the person to be able to consume his Eruv, so yeah, technically a Nazir could do that. But by Truma for Yisrael, a Jew is Yisrael is never allowed to eat Truma. So therefore it needs to be chulin, it needs to be regular, normal food. So Gemara says, Yehachi Truma Nami Efshar. Well, what can you do with Truma? You can't actually fix Truma for Yisrael. Efshar Dimitri Elayu. You can kind of take back the Truma. Meaning Truma is what? Truma is grains that was separated. So you can reverse that process as well. You can kind of I forget the proper word for it, but you can get the Truma out of an item. So you can do the same thing. I mean, you can kind of revert it back to its original status. The Gemara says, okay, fine. But imichel ala hadra l'tivla. So, but one second. What happens if you take away Truma status and you decide to take another part of your pile of grain as Truma? Well, then the pile of Truma that you're holding in your hand goes back to Tevel. Tevel is produce that's not been meisered yet. That's also to eat. Right? They're very awesome. Right? So the Gemara says, okay, so what would you do? Simply velifrosh alom imakom acher. Okay, so you could just take truma from another place, and therefore the food that you're talking about is not going to be tevel. So the Gemara says, no, that's no good because lo nechshu chaverim litrom shalom enamukav. Chaverim meaning tamid chachamim, meaning from a yidden, are not going to really do that. Right? It's not that we don't really try to separate chumas and maestros. So if you don't have all the produce in front of you, right, you can obviously run into issues. And you don't have to kind of use your imagination to realize, oh, I thought I set it over here, I put it over here, the food gets lost. I didn't realize. It's not so posh to take chuma if the two different foods are in different places. So that's not going to work out. As the Gemara says, "V'lifrosh alav minei ubei." So why don't you take truma right, from the tevel? Meaning, now once, let's say again, truma is technically 2%. So if you have, I don't know, 1,000 kernels, probably the easiest way to do is 100 kernels, right? So if you have 100 kernels, so then truma is 2 kernels. 2 kernels of grain, 2 stalks of wheat. So now you take the truma status off these 2 stalks of wheat. Yeah. So now you're left with tevel. So the Gemara says simply, okay, so take 2% of the 2 stalks. Right, so why don't you just do that? And that would fix the stalks pretty much. So the Gemara says, the less beishira. The case is that no. How much do you need for an eruv? Right, the amount we said before of 2 meals, depending on what the item is. If it's something that's eaten with bread, so two meals worth of whatever you would eat with the bread. If it's something that's not eaten with bread, so then 2 full meals of the item. So the case is where you have less than that taking off the new truma by taking off the new 2% would make it less than 2 meals worth, and therefore the eruv would be no good. And it says, "My Vaska." Well, that's very nice, but where did you see that in the Braisa? Where did you see that the Tana said that? So the Gemara says, "Ela Sukkos Tavu LaKarabonah." Rather, Sukkos holds like the Chachamim. Damri called Damri Shemishu Shvus Gazru Alav Bein Hashmashos. Right, that all the Derabanans started on Bein Hashmashos. So all the Derabanans on Shabbos start on Erev Shabbos, meaning Bein Hashmashos. So since meaning an Eruv is a Din Derabanan, and we judge whether an Eruv is good or not. On Bein Hashmashos when Shabbos comes in. So now, playing with the Truma, we had said, mentioned several times that you're not allowed to take Truma on Shabbos, that's Metaking the food. And so, in the Maaseh, that you can't fix that on Shabbos. So once you can no longer take Truma and fix this item, even if you get rid of its Truma status, you can't retake new truma to fix it again, and that's not an option. It's therefore, that's why Sukkos will say you need to have chulin by Yisrael, because you can't fix truma like you can fix wine for a nazir. Okay. Kaman azla ha ditnan. Who is the shita in this Mishnah? Yesh amru akol lefi mashu adam. People say that sizes are non-specific, meaning sizes and shiurim are not uniform. Right? Malo kumtzo mincha, for example, the komets of a mincha. The komets is if someone is bringing a korban mincha, which is a korban mostly out of flour and oil and whatever, so the kohen takes a komets, which is literally means a handful, but it's not a handful. It's if you take the three middle fingers and scoop it up, leaving out your pinky and your thumb. So the amount, without getting into details, the amount between the three fingers and the palm is the amount of flour / etc. which you're going to take, the kohen is going to take and burn on the mizbeach. So that obviously the shear of that will depend on whether the guy has a big hand or a small hand. Melochofnav ketores, same thing, that the kohen gadol takes a handful of ketores on Yom Kippur, that also will depend on the size of his hand. And vashosa melolukva of Yom Kippurim, the shear of drinking on Yom Kippur is a melolukva of a mouthful, so obviously depends on if you're a big person, a little person. With a Muslim, she suits the Erev, and another shear that depends on the person is two meals for an Erev, right? Depending on how much a person will eat. So that Mishnah says that it depends on, right? The shear is subjective, not objective, but subjective to the person that in question. Come on, who's that shita? I'm Rabbi Zeira, Sumchus. This is Sumchus, who says that we require the person to be able to eat, and the person to be relatable, at least, to the item, the air that he's making. Right, the stomach, but again, it needs to be enough for the person involved. Okay. Lema, let's get to the two dots, or at least the second two dots, right, this short piece of Gemara over there. Lema pliga de Rav Shimon ben Elazar, so maybe this Mishnah is against Rav Shimon ben Elazar. The Tanya Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and Ma'arvin Lachol, again, we quoted earlier, Ma'arvin Lachol Luzaka and Kedem Azonu, La Ravasa, Masuda, Benonis, Shokol Adam. Right, well, if you're telling me that the shear of the Erev depends on how much a person can eat, well, Rav Shimon Elazar said that if a person eats a ton, or Rav Asan, who pounds food all day, so you give him a Suda Beinonis, you give him a normal, regular-sized meal. So the Gemara says that no, that in a Hanami doesn't have to be against Rav Shimon Elazar. Targum HaChol HaBezakim. You say that when the Mishnah is saying that it depends on how much a person can eat, that's going on the sick person, and the old person, which again, that makes sense. That is like Rav Shimon Elazar, who says that they can even use an area which is much smaller because they can't eat so much. Now, for Rav Asan, Batla Daitel Eitzel Kol Adam, but we say that someone who eats a ton of food, so we say Batla Daitel Eitzel Kol Adam, that person is an exception, and the shear for the Eruv is going to be a standard, normal two meals. Okay, just a little bit more. With the Kohen Beis HaPras, we said you can make an Eruv for a Kohen in the Beis HaPras. Again, a Beis HaPras was a field that had a grave that was plowed over, and a kohen in general is not allowed to go in there because we're nervous, he may come to be contract some tumah. But the Mishnah says that you can do that. The question here is not according to the Mishnah, but according to Sumchus, who says that the person needs to be able to eat or get to and partake of his eruv. So how does Sumchus get a kohen into a Beis HaPras? I mean, the Mishnah had said, Yayin for a Nazir, Truma for Yisrael, it's not a problem. You don't actually have to have the person able to eat his food. But Sumchus does require that. So how is Sumchus getting a kohen into a Beis HaPras? To Amar of Yudah Mashmul, Minapech, Adam Beis HaPras V'holich. A person can a kohen can blow on the ground in front of him when he's walking through, or I guess crawling through the Beis HaPras. And we're concerned about pieces of bone or of the mace that have been chopped up. So if he blows on top, we're not concerned about underneath, right? Okay, you can't really see it. So you don't necessarily have to be concerned for it. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure this is Dindar Abanan, that he can kind of blow away any. I guess they assume that the mace is going to be churned up by the plow, and it'll be on top. So if the kohen walks, he blows away any loose pieces of bone, that's mutter for him to get to the Erev. Rabbi Yudah bar Ami, Mishmei Rabbi Yudah, Amar Beis HaPras, Shenidash Tahor. And Rabbi Yudah said that Beis HaPras that is stepped on by many people, is tahor, because we assume that any leftover remnants of the mace that's brought to the top is going to be crushed and I guess crumbled by the people who are walking through. So in that case, Simchus would say that a kohen can put an eriv in a base hapras. Okay, shkola kol rabose, we'll invite you in the Hail Geshas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.